If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Rabbi Evan Moffick joins us now, Jewish community leader and rabbi of Macomb Shalal Lakeside in Highland Park. He's joined us before, early in this war in Israel, and a month later, we're still talking. Rabbi, thanks for giving us your time today.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me again.
I said a swastika. It was actually the word Nazi was spray-painted on the side of a fence at former Mayor Rahm Emanuel's home in Michigan. There were 20 Nazi-clad marchers at the University of Wisconsin's campus, actually marching from the Capitol to the east side across campus in Madison. We've seen all sorts of unfortunate incidents at Northwestern as well as other campuses. I asked the question before the break, Rabbi. I wonder if people have actually been spurred to have anti-Semitic feelings of late, or is this an audience that's been there and is only now feeling triggered? Or maybe that's a distinction you're not even interested in. What's your thought about that?
Well, I think it's both. Absolutely. I mean, I think this conflict has triggered or has led to a tremendous rise of anti-Semitism from people who had already been anti-Semitic. You know, the sentiments were certainly there. I mean, we'd already seen, really since 2015, we'd already seen a tremendous rise in anti-Semitism. And then after October 7th, it just, I think the last statistic I saw, I think it tripled the number of incidents per week. And it's just horrific. I mean, even from the last time we spoke, the feeling in the Jewish community is just one of both shock and fear.
Outside of what happened in, or is happening in Israel and Gaza, what has led to the uptick in anti-Semitic either feelings or actions?
Well, I think there's sort of two phenomena that have always been there. There's anti-Semitism from the right, from the far right, and we saw that in Madison with these sort of neo-Nazis. They're the same sort of people that demonize immigrants, that really believe in this sort of white supremacist point of view. It's the same sort of thinking that motivated the shooter in Pittsburgh in 2018. This sort of they see Jews as cosmopolitan Western liberals that need to be destroyed. So that's one aspect of it. And then you have the very far left, which sees Jews as oppressors, as guilty of genocide. And that's been true for 20, 25 years. And then, you know, they found a way of further expressing themselves after October 7th.
I wonder if there's any way to quantify this. I mean, it's a feeling or a belief. I guess we could count marchers or incidents, but is there any way to sort of put a number on it or get our head around how entrenched it is?
Well, the Anti-Defamation League and other groups do statistics, and they've shown, I mean, Jews have been the number one victim of hate crimes for a long time, for many years now. It's very much, you know, we're kind of lucky in Chicago. It happens sometimes, but in New York, there are anti-Semitic attacks every day, often against, you know, sort of very visibly clad Jews in black hats and yarmulkes and so forth. So there's definitely our statistics showing the rise, and it's accelerated significantly over the last 6 weeks.
Mm. You might counsel me against this, but I want to believe that the numbers aren't as great as we might think, or that the motivations aren't as anti-Semitic as it would appear. I think some of these people are too stupid to have thought through what they're marching for, that they're angry or disenfranchised, and so they're mad at immigrants, and they're mad at minorities and LGBTQ members, and Jews are the flavor of the month, but it's not so much that as it is them. Does that make any sense to you?
I think there's some validity to that, for sure. I mean, there was, in Indiana, there was an anti-Semitic attack against a black Israelite church. The black Israelites are a movement that are virulently anti-Semitic. But the attacker thought, oh, the word Israelite, these must be Jews, so we'll attack them. So it was sort of a very, you know, really illustrated the stupidity of some anti-Semites. But I do think it's there is a some of the people that are anti-Semitic are very bright. I mean, you see professors at places like Cornell and Harvard mm-hmm. and NYU mm-hmm. that are signing these letters that can only be described as anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Yeah, no argument or doubt about that. And then what's the tactic? I've heard people say rather than inflame these by engaging, we should, be peaceful and quiet. And other people say, no, we need to rally. We need to put a million people on the mall. What advice do you have either for the people you work with or all of us?
I think we can't let it go unanswered. I mean, the Rally for Israel last Tuesday had 290,000 participants. I mean, it was astounding. I think the organizers were expecting 50 to 60,000, and they got five times that. So I think there is a yearning. And there were people in my congregation that went. Unfortunately, I couldn't go. I wanted to. But there were people in my congregation who went who felt so empowered and connected and really felt that this was what they had gone to Hebrew school, gone to religious school for, that this to stand up for what they believe, for their values and their people. So I think activism is critical right now. And fortunately, I mean, the truth is Jews have many wonderful allies. You know, this is not 1930s Germany. You know, 1930s Germany was different. It's bad. It's horrific. But we are in a different place. We're in a place where there are allies, where there are a place where we can call out anti-Semitism when we see it and people respond. And so I think that's really the only option right now.
Where would this conversation be if the war were not taking place right now?
And it's a great question. I mean, I think the same phenomena have been there for a while. The anti-Semitism from the far right and the far left have been there. So I think it would be there. It just wouldn't be as prominent. There wouldn't be the trigger that set it off. You know, people, in some ways, I think this neo-Nazi march in Madison was a way for people to say, hey, we don't want all the leftist anti-Semites getting all the attention. We're anti-Semitic, too, because I was watching the pictures of it. So I do think this sets off a trigger. I mean, that's 100%. And I think Jews understand that this is an unusual time. That means we have to be even more vocal and more activist.
And when people are talking about the war in Israel, I hope that we are all able to hear a criticism of the tactic of that country as not an anti-Semitic statement.
Absolutely. You know, there's something called the 3 D's test. I just talked about this with my congregation. And that's where you distinguish criticism of Israel, legitimate criticism from Israel, from anti-Semitism. The first D is demonization. If the statements about Israeli tactics are over-the-top anti-Semitic, saying, well, Israel is deliberately targeting civilians and trying to murder children, which there's no evidence for that, that's demonization. That's anti-Semitic. The second D is double standards. If you try to attack Israel for something you condone on the other side or in another country, that's a form of anti-Semitism. And the third D is delegitimization. If you argue that the Jewish state has no right to exist and Jews should have no homeland, that's a form of anti-Semitism. Anything else is perfectly legitimate as a form of criticism.
Rabbi Evan Mafik is a Jewish community leader and the rabbi of Makom Salel. Is that how I say that word, Rabbi?
Perfect.
Salel,
yes.
Lakeside in Highland Park. I'd like to talk to you more about some of the things you just said. I'm out of time today, but let's reserve more time in the near future. We always appreciate you coming on, Rabbi.
Thanks, John.